that his deen and his message of his deen is conveyed to the far corners of the world. When we say Khatm al-Nabuwa, the finality of the prophethood, the end of revelation, that means that the message coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ended, that has been conveyed now. There is no more of that. But that doesn't mean actually that the message from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been conveyed to whole of the humanity. Because that needed to be done in his lifetime, and then his blessed Ahlul Bayt and companions did that. And now its responsibility is upon us. And he, many other mashallah ulama, sulaha, people from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from human beings, from jinnah, they are doing this. So remember, the message from Allah Azza wa Jal to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, conveyance of that message has ended, that is Khatm al-Nubuwwah. But the message then from Quran and Sunnah, from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to other humanity, that still need to be conveyed. So the biggest job and the main job was done by the Prophet al Islam, that he took the message from Allah. Now this little job compared to that, but this is a very big honor as well, to take it to other people, the same message, that is upon our shoulders. And Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, once the Sahaba found him weeping in Masjid Nabvi on the minbar, and they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why are you weeping? How can we help? Have anyone said anything? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, I'm weeping because in spite of my own people being against me, they throwing stones at me, I have conveyed the message, still starving, being thirsty, being ridiculed, still I conveyed it fully. But I was weeping because of when I was thinking, who will convey this message to the ummah yet to come and to the vast areas of the earth? Who is going to convey that? And will people convey with the same zeal, the same vigor, the same selflessness for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or how will they receive my ummah, the message? Or meaning, will the people make it just as a money-making thing? And it has been the sunnah of Anbiya alayhi salam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you should follow ittabi'u, a person who have two qualities. Malla yas'alukum ajra, that the person who doesn't ask any recompense in return of conveying the message, wahum muhtadun, and they are acting upon it themselves. These two qualities always have been the quality of awliya Allah, that they were practicing people. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say that person in Surah Yasin, he didn't say ittabi'u malla yas'alukum ajra, wahum muhtadun. He said the people who are on guidance, who are acting upon the guidance, not people who only know, because the knowledge is dead knowledge until tazkiyah makes it alive and practice makes it alive. So alhamdulillah, when the Sahaba listened to this, when weeping of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you stop crying. We will leave the city of Medina, although we never like to leave it. We will leave our children, we'll sacrifice our businesses, but we will, until when we live, we will convey your message to the far corners. And they did. Some are buried in Cyprus. We saw seven graves of the Sahaba in Cyprus. In the area of Pakistan, there is an area called Panjgor. There are five graves of the Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala. And then in China, and then in Turkey, like Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari and Abu Sayyid al-Khudri, according to one riwayah. And Rasulullah is very pleased when someone wants to actually, and someone is serving his ummah for the pleasure of Allah, not for money, not for money, because then you've lost it. No matter you establish madrasas in whole of the world, if it is not for Allah and your tazkiyah and your intention is not pure, it is waste. Allah is still going to throw you and me in hellfire. If you establish the charity center, the welfare center in whole of the world, serving destitute people, serving the poor, serving the needy, if you have not been purified, your intention is not purified, you are doing it for money or fame, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, that's a hadith sahih in Sahih Bukhari, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to call these two categories of people. One, those who've been learning and serving in knowledge, Allah will ask, what have you been doing on the earth? They say, we have been teaching, we have established madrasa, we did this and that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, you've done that, but not for my pleasure. But you've been earning fame and name and money. You even were not practicing yourself, your intention is not pure. Throw him in hellfire. And the Prophet ﷺ said that these will be one of the three people for whom the fire of hell will rage at first time. And then another person, what have you been doing, my servant? Ya Allah, I had a lot of skills and ability. I established charity, welfare center, and I've been serving people and widows and things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, good and well, but you served, but you did not serve for me. You did it for fame and name, and you got that. And similarly, then there will be other person who been politically struggling. You see, there are three kinds of struggles normally human being engage in only. Knowledge, welfare works, and political struggle. So there will be another person, what have you been doing, my servant? Ya Allah, I've been politically struggling so much to establish your kingdom that I gave my life, I became shaheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, you did, because you were killed. But the intention was not actually to please me, but it was something else. So we read, listen to this hadith, but by surface, that there will be three people will come and this will happen. But these are the three kinds of struggle which any human being can do on this face of the earth. Either in the field of knowledge, either in the field of welfare and charity, or either political struggle. And they are all failed. Why? Because there is no tazkiyah, there is no tasawwuf, there is no purification of the heart. This means if purification of the heart is not there, purification of intention is not there, that's the field of tazkiyah. Then all knowledge, all welfare khidmat, and all political struggle goes completely into vain. Shaitan, even worship will go into vain. Shaitan reached so high because he had not purified his heart from arrogance or things like this. Look what happened to him. He came down. So purified. Alhamdulillah, Hazrat Mufti Sahib Ali in South Africa, where mashallah, every month so many people through his effort become Muslim, and some Muslim, other Muslims are studying the local community, and other people as well, alhamdulillah, they are serving. So we listen to his blessed words and nasiha. Nasiha is a reminder. What is nasiha? Is a sincere reminder. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-dinu nasiha." Deen is nasiha. What does it mean? What does that mean? It means you won't be forced to act upon deen. Whole of the deen is advice only. Quran is only giving you advice. It's not forcing you. Otherwise, if Allah had used His power in the Quran to force people, وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَآتِينَا غُلْنَةٍ هُدَى, everyone would have been guided. But the Prophet ﷺ said, whole of the deen, Quran is nasiha, sunnah is nasiha, hadith is nasiha, personality of the Prophet ﷺ is a nasiha, and awliya, ulama, they only give reminder. It's a nasiha. What does it mean? Try to get the depth of the meaning. It, which meaning that you won't be forced, brother. or sisters, whoever is listening. Deen or nasiha, deen is only reminder. No one will force you. So you are in the driving seat. Hazrat Sahab, other scholars, ulama, even Quran, as he said, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ مَا أَنْتَ عَلِهِمْ بِجَبَّارٍ وَمَا أَنْتَ عَلِهِمْ بِوَكِيلٍ إِنْ أَنْتَ إِلَّا بَشِيرٌ وَنَذِيرٌ. You are only warner, giver of glad tidings. You do not force people. Because then the whole point of coming on the face of the earth is null. If people are forced, then many people, many creation is doing worship of Allah by force. Then you will behave like robots. The whole point to send you is, give you freedom, then you utilize that freedom. So inshallah, listen carefully what the Shaykh have to say. And he came from all the way from South Africa to actually for the propagation of deen and to meet ulama, sulaha, friends. And one of our three, the brothers you know, the three, Brother Qasim from Manchester, Brother Abdul Hafiz and Junaid is studying in their madrasa. So alhamdulillah, hopefully they will be able to serve people there and here. And only one can do whatever one can. A parents, as I was saying to Mufti Sahab, I can only use my resources to upbring my children or other students. The teacher can only convey the message and provide the facilities. Guidance, change come from Allah due to the intention of the student. If the student is not better or doesn't want to change, the teacher cannot do. The Mashayikh have said, بڑے کی محبت فائدہ نہیں دیتی چھوٹے کی محبت صرف فائدہ دیتی. اب سمجھیں, the love of a شیخ or a مرشد or نبی does not benefit. Really the benefit is in the love of the student or the ummati and the murid. The benefit comes from his love, not the love of the higher person. Why? Because Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم loved all ummah. آپ کو تو ساری امت سے محبت تھی, پھر کیوں لوگ ایمان لے؟ آپ کو ابو لہب سے بھی بڑا پیار تھا. وہ پہلے جب ابتدائی دور میں وہ آپ چچا تھے, کتنا پیار کیا وہ نبی علیہ السلام سے. آپ کو ساری امت سے محبت تھی, لیکن فائدہ, who took benefit? Did love of رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم for the ummah benefit the ummah, or the ummah's love for رسول اللہ benefited the ummah? Because Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq loved the most, he benefited the most. Hazrat Bilal loved the most, he benefited the most. Similarly, Shaykh and Murid, teacher and student, not the love of the teacher benefits. The teacher, if you have 50 students here, he is teaching, he wants every student to benefit. The teacher wants every student to become a star. But who benefits then is the love of the student for the teacher. That benefits. تو بڑے کی محبت نہیں پیدا. ہمارے کہتے ہیں حضرت صاحب کرم فرماؤ, حضرت صاحب ساڑھے تیرے نظر کرو, ہم پر نظر کرو. آپ نظر کریں اپنے اوپر, آپ نظر کریں اپنی محبت, وہ فائدہ دے گی. ورنہ اللہ پاک تو مخلوق الہی کی خیر بلائی چاہتا ہے. اللہ نے تو انبیاء علیہ السلام بھیجی, اللہ نہیں چاہتا. ما یفعل اللہ بعذابکم, یفعل اللہ بعذابکم. اللہ عذاب دے کے تمہیں کیا کرے گا؟ اللہ کو کیا فائدہ؟ What did Allah say? کہ تمہاری بات ہو رہے کہ تم اگر انسان بنو, ان شکرتم و آمنتم, تم مجھ سے محبت کرو, تم مجھ سے تعلق صحیح کرو, there is no reason you will be punished. So remember, this is a subtle point, but the love of the bigger personality does not benefit until the smaller one also loves. Then the love of Rasulullah SAW will benefit more. Then the love of Allah will benefit you more. Then the love of teacher will take you to the heights. But you have to actually take the first step. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Hadith Qudsi, Man taqarraba minni shibran, that whoever comes one handstand closer, then actually will. Whoever takes one step, but we never take that one step. To ye baat bhi yaad rakhi, ye bhi hoti hai, to jo log fayda uthayenge, wo choton ki mohabbat badon ke liye mamla. شیخ سے مرید پوچھنے لگا ہے, محبوب حسن شاذلی سے, What is my status in your ہاں تو شیخ آپ کے دل میں میرا کیا مقام ہے شیخ سے کہنے لگا. He said, you have not asked the right question. آپ نے صحیح سوال نہیں کیا. آپ کو پوچھنا یہ چاہیے سوچنا چاہیے تھا کہ آپ کے دل میں یعنی مرید کے دل میں میرا کیا مقام ہے. What is my status in your heart? That's the point. Whatever is that, that's equal. لیکن اللہ سبحانہ وتعالیٰ said, I deal with people according to the opinion they have about me. اللہ سبحانہ وتعالیٰ said, I deal with people whatever opinion they have about me. So whatever value they give, they will be dealt. So inshallah, we'll listen. But before that, inshallah, we'll perform this sunnah of nikah as well. And it was the habit of the Prophet ﷺ to deliver some nasiha, some guidance before nikah, which we know as the khutbah of the nikah. Khutbah of the nikah is guidance. And in that is same thing is mentioned. In the three verses he, alayhi salatu wasalam, used to recite, taqwa. He mentioned the taqwa. Taqwa, what is taqwa? If you want a comprehensive definition of taqwa, taqwa is following the sunnah. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam again and again said, there is no one more muttaqi than me. I am the atqa, I am the most muttaqi in the creation of Allah. So if you want to see the perfection of taqwa, follow the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and love him, you are the most muttaqi person. So in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised the husband and wife to be that practice taqwa, meaning follow my lifestyle in marriage. How I treated my wife, you treat them like that. How the instructions are mine for actually the husband to be and the wife to be. Be like that. And one nasiha for the couple to be married, to nikah done, is one of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that he, alayhi salatu wasalam, for husband and wife, this is in the definition of taqwa as well. Women by nature, they like to be loved more than respected. Women, they like to be loved more than they want to be respected. Men, they want to be respected more than they are loved. That is the difference in the nature of the man and women. So, what is the message then? The message is that the husband should actually try to not only love, but show the love even if it's not there so much. You can, Rasulullah said, you can, I mean in one hadith, you can exaggerate to show that love of the wife. Even you can exaggerate, which is not completely truth, but here alayhi salatu wasalam said, in one hadith, there are three exceptions where you can exaggerate things or hide some of the facts, is to make a wife happy. If she's cooked food, if it's not so good, you can still praise the food that you've done it very well, alhamdulillah. It's allowed. To reconcile between two people, you are allowed to actually also exaggerate or hide some things and exaggerate the good and omit the evil. To reconcile people, to bring two people together, to also for husband and wife, and wife and husband. So, give the wives love. They want, if they love, they are not respected so much, they are not bothered. They know our husband loves us, she likes us, alhamdulillah. When she is loved more, she is going to give you the respect now. That's what you like. You are not bothered, your wife loves so much, you are not. But if she doesn't respect you, she dishonors you here and there, you say, even though she loves me, but I can't live with her. Because men, by nature, they like to be loved, but they like to be respected and honored more. So this is advice for women, that they should honor, they should respect their husband. That's why Rasulullah never said that, he said that if I was to command anyone to prostrate, who did he say? This means that he was giving the message, the man nature is to be honored and respected. So he mentioned that. So this is a very good circle you will be in. The wife is giving more respect, the husband gives more love, and then the both of the relationship increases, become beautiful. And the other one is a vicious circle. The husband says, doesn't give her love, and then in return she doesn't give him respect, in return he doesn't give her love, in return she doesn't. So they are, so it's a downward spiral then actually, and it goes to destruction. These are the some of the, you may say, very one, you can say 0.01 point of the prophetic teachings about husband and wife and marriage actually. So Rasulullah ﷺ advised people that look, what is taqwa, 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 and it is a test for you, marriage, and it's not actually just enjoyment, but it is a part of the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let me now, inshaAllah, see the blessed father of the bride-to-be. Where are they? You have taken permission in presence of two witnesses from your daughter? Apne jaza kaun se hain wo do bande jiske, you were present when he took permission from his daughter that she is happy to be married with Muhammad Umar, son of Muhammad Aslam, mashallah. And your names will be, hopefully they are written here. What are your names? Imran Hussain and Muhammad Farid? Yeah. Okay, mashallah. Jazakallah. Barakat Hussain. Aapka naam Barakat Hussain hai. Beti aapki Sadia Kosar hai. Aur meher jo hai wo inhone de diya hai. You've already paid the dowry 11, 10, 11, 12. دے دیا آپ نے, چلا الحمدللہ وہ بھی ہو گیا. تو آپ مجھے اجازت دے دیں اس مسلمانوں کی موجودگی میں, آپ کہیں کہ میں آپ کو اجازت دیتا ہوں اپنی بیٹی سعدیہ کوثر کا نکاح پڑھانے کے لیے ان کے ساتھ.
میں آپ کو اجازت دیتا ہوں
سعدیہ کوثر
کی بیٹی کو
نکاح پڑھانے. ٹھیک ہے, شکریہ. But so, now, in Arabic, what I said in explanation, now you just listen in Arabic the khutbah, and then Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi allazeen astafa, khususan ala sayyid rusuli wa khatam al-anbiya, wa ala alihi al-atqiya, wa ala ashabihi al-asfiya, wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah waliyu salihin, ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء, واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام, إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. وقال تعالى, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا, يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم, ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقال تعالى, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, النكاح من سنتي, أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام, فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني, أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات وذكر الحكيم, إنه تعالى جواد قديم كريم, ملك برؤوف رحيم. أقول قولي هذا, استغفر لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين, استغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. By the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by His will, everything which is lawful becomes lawful, and by the way and the methodology shown by our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of husband and wife to be, which mean the nikah. I, a sinful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the presence of witnesses, all Muslims here, especially the witnesses which we have named, I have performed the nikah of Sadia Kausar, who is the daughter of Barkat Hussain, with you, Muhammad Umar, the son of Muhammad Aslam, and the mahar has been paid. Have you accepted her as your wife?
I accept.
I have given Sadia Kausar, daughter of Barkat Hussain, in your nikah with the mahar mentioned 11 tola, which you've been paid with the presence of these witnesses. Have you accepted her as your wife?
I accept.
Say, I have accepted Sadia Kausar as my wife.
اردو میں بھی کہہ دوں جو انگلش میں سن لیا
میں نے سعدیہ کوثر بنت برکت حسین کو آپ کے نکاح میں دے دیا محمد عمر تو محمد ول محمد اسلم آپ نے قبول کیا بارک اللہ فی اللہ پاک برکت عطا فرمائے اور اس نکاح میں جو ہے دونوں جو حضرات اور خواتین جو بھی تشریف لائی ہیں برکت اور جو نصیحت جو میں نے کی ہے اس کے خیال رکھیں گے تو انشاءاللہ یہ دونوں خاندانوں کے لیے اس میں بہتری اور خیر ہوگی تو ہم حضرت سے درخواست کریں گے وہ دعا فرما دیں ان کی برکت کے لیے پھر بعد میں پھر نصیحت
الفاتحہ
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين اياك نعبد واياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله وعلى آله وصحبه وأمته أجمعين ربنا أهدنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم ألف بينهما بين عمر وكوثر كما ألفت بين سيدنا آدم وحواء عليهم السلام اللهم ألف بينهما كما ألفت بين سيدنا إبراهيم وسارة وهاجر عليهم السلام اللهم ألف بينهما كما ألفت بين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأمهات المؤمنين اللهم ألف بينهما كما ألفت بين سيدنا علي وفاطمة الزهراء رضي الله تعالى عنهما ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم بعظمة سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه وأمته أجمعين وبعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم عن حذيفة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قلت لأمي دعيني آت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصلي صلاة المغرب معه وأسأله أن يستغفر لي ولك إلى آخر الحديث رواه الترمذي أو كما قال. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salatu salam on his beloved and our beloved Nabi Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I would like to draw your attention towards this hadith of Tirmidhi Sharif. Indeed, it is great honor for me to say a few words in the presence of His Eminence Qibla Hazrat Shaykh Ahmad Dabbagh Mata'anallah Ta'ala Bidulli Hayatihi. In fact, I'm not here to say something, I don't have this ability, but Al-Amru Fawq Al-Adab, inshallah, with this niyat, inshallah it will be with the Ruhani Madad, will be beneficial for me and for you as well, inshallah. Please don't pay attention towards the words. I am very weak in English, but I will try to convey my message or explanation and these broken words. In between, inshallah, I will speak few words of Urdu as well. A great companion of the Holy Prophet al-Islam, Sayyidina Huzaifa radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, once he asked his mother, "Oh my beloved mother, please allow me to go to Masjid Nabawi and to achieve this opportunity to perform Salah behind the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." There are many lessons, indication in the words of these words of Sahabi. For example, one important lesson we can learn, the importance of the parents. He was going to masjid to perform salah, but he asked permission to leave home with the permission of the mother. So, important lesson taught by the companion of the Holy Prophet al-Islam, that for you, your parents are very important. Obedience of the parents, respect of the parents, and you are dealing treatment with your parents. Even Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by the companion, "Ayyul amal ahabbu ila Allah?" Which action is most beloved in the sight of our Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied by saying, "As-salatu ala waqtiha." Most beloved action and practice and amal in the sight of Allah, to perform your salah in its proper time. To perform salah, this is ibadat of Allah, right of Allah. Allah ka haq jo bandon par hai, Nabi Kareem al-Islam ne in kalimat mein bayan farmaya کہ نماز اپنے وقت میں ادا کرنا اللہ کی بارگاہ میں بڑا پسندیدہ عمل ہے. تو اللہ کے حق کے بعد پھر نبی کریم نے سے پوچھا گیا, ثم ایو آفٹر صلاۃ آفٹر دی زائکۃ اللہ دین اینی ادر ایکشن which can be most beloved in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then Nabi Kareem alayhi salam replied by saying, Birrul Walidain. Walidain ke saath achcha saluk, your treatment and your length of respect, connection of obedience with your parents must be good. It means after the rights of Allah, most important right for us as a believer is the rights of the parents and the right of this hadith of the Holy Prophet. In fact, this hadith is commentary or explanation for the verse of the Holy Quran, وَقَدْوَا رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبِرْهُ إِلَّا إِجَّا. تمہارے رب کا یہ فیصلہ ہے کہ اس کے بغیر کسی کی عبادت نہ کی جائے. The worthy of worship is only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is also right of Allah on the servants, ibadat, worship. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَبِلْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانَا. After the rights of Allah is mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself in the Holy Quran, the right of the parents. Nabi Kareem alayhi salam has said, رِضَ اللَّهِ فِي رِضَ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. Allah's pleasure is in the pleasure of the parents. If your parents are happy and pleased with you, then that will be the source of pleasure of your Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even it was said by the Holy Prophet of Islam, كُلُّ ذُنُوبٍ يُوَخَّرْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَّا رُقُوقُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. The punishment of every sin, if Allah wants, He can delay it till the day of judgment and day after, but except one thing, which is disobedience of the parents. Disobedience of the parents, such a evil action and the sight, evil sin in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person who is going to indulge himself in this evil, he will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this worldly life itself. One of my noble teacher, when he was teaching us this type of hadith, during the discussion he mentioned about one accident that took place. He said, it was Fajr time. After Fajr Salah, I was sitting on the Musalla, same place, and I was making wazifa. And while I was busy in my wazifa after Fajr Salah, people left the masjid and went out. And after a while, I heard some noise, like people are talking loudly, like howling, like fight between them. So he said, I went out from the masjid, see the situation, what happened. Little away from the masjid, and there were few people gathered, they were gathered there, and they were raising voices against each other. And then I went there, the situation which I saw, one strong man and young man, and other side was one old man and weak person, and they had argument, and the young man, strong man, became angry. Out of anger, he picked up the old man and threw him on the floor and sat on his chest and started beating him, and few people remove him from the chest of that old man. And then old man stood up and he said, people was blaming him, that what you are doing with your father. So the father's old man told them, don't believe him. I am the responsible for this. They were surprised. Ek beta hai, baap ke saath itni zyadti kar raha hai, zameen par gira diya, seene pe baith ke marna shuru kar diya, isse badhke aur kya toheen ho sakti hai. Lekin baap jawab mein kehta hai, mere bete ko mulamat na karo, ye iska zimmedar bhi main hoon. To taajub hua logo ko, hairan hue ki ye kya baat hai. To kehne laga, baap se poocha ke aisa tum kya kehte ho, why you are saying this? Don't blame my son, I am responsible for that. What is the reason behind it? To kehne laga, suno, ek waqt tha jab main jawan tha, taaqatwar tha, mera baap boodha tha, kamzor tha. Hamari aapas mein guftugu hote hue mujhe gussa aaya, to maine isi tarah apne baap ko utha ke zameen pe de mara aur uske seene pe baith ke usko maarne laga tha. To aaj jo kuch maine baap se kiya tha, apne bete se receive kar raha. It was a time I had argument with my father. I was strong and strong. I did same thing with my father which I am receiving from my son. To jaisa karoge waisa badhoge. Nabi Kareem ka ye farman, kullu dhunub yuakhar ila yawm al-qiyamah illa huquq al-walidain. Oh, the punishment of every sin if Allah wants can delay till the day of judgment for the day after. But this disobedience and insult of the parents is such an evil and worse sin in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who is going to indulge himself in this, he will be punished by Allah in this worldly life as well. So Sahabi Rasul Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala asked his mother, please allow me to go and perform Maghrib Salah behind the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number one, ek to reason ye tha ke Nabi Kareem ki mahiyat mein salam salat ada karun, namaz padun. Isse ye bhi sabak milta hai. Isharatan sahabi ne hame ye bhi sabak diya ke namaz agar masjid mein jaake jamaat mein padho to zyada ahmiyat ki hamil hai. If we perform salah at our homes individually, namaz will be better accepted, inshallah. But same namaz, if we are going to read behind Imam with jamaat in the masjid, then we will get extra reward. According to one hadith, 25 namazon ka sawab hoga ek namaz padhne ka. Aur ek aur hadith mein aata hai, 27 times your reward will be increased by performing namaz with jamaat. Aur sahabi ne ek to ye, aur phir sahabi ne uski apni maa se as'aluhu sallallahu alaihi wasallam an yastaghfira li wa laki yawmi, ke main nabi kareem ki khidmat mein hazir hone ka ek sabab ye namaz ada karun aapki maiyat mein jamaat ke saath. Aur dusra ek sabab ye bhi hai ke ammi ji wahan jaake main apne liye bhi, aur ammi ji aapke liye bhi, main aqa alai salam ki bargah mein darkhwast karunga ke wo mere liye bhi bakhshish ki dua farmaye aur ammi ji aapke liye bhi bakhshish ki dua farmaye. I will request in the court of the Holy Prophet Islam that he should make dua of maghfirat and forgiveness for me and for you, O my beloved mother. To yahan ye sabak bhi milta hai, sahabi ne isharatan ye bhi sabak sikhaya ke kisi buzurg ki bargah mein usse jaake dua ki darkhwast karna, ye صحابہ اکرام نے نبی کریم سے سیکھا تھا اور حضور علیہ السلام نے فرمایا اصحابی تنجوم بأيهم اقتدیتم استدیتم، میرے صحابہ ستاروں کی مانند ہیں، مائی کمپینینز آر لائک سٹارز، ان میں سے جس کو فالو کرو گے ہدایت پاؤ گے. تو صحابی نے یہ ہمیں سبق دیا کہ بزرگوں کی بارگاہ میں جا کے دعا کی درخواست کرنا زیادہ قبولیت کا سبب بنتا ہے. انہیں علم تھا کہ اللہ نحن اقرب الیہ من حبل الورید، اللہ شارن سے بھی زیادہ قریب ہے، ہر جگہ سنتا ہے، لیکن وہ بارگاہ مستفی میں جا کے عرض کرنے کے لیے گئے تھے کہ دعا ہمارے لیے بھی کریں اور میری ماں کے لیے بھی کریں. تو دیٹ از آلسو امپورٹنٹ لیسن وی کین لرن فرام دی ورڈز آف دی صحابی. دیر آر مینی ادر لیسنز، بٹ بیکاز آف لیک آف نالج اینڈ ٹائم ان دا پریزنس آف نوبل پرسنالٹی آئی وونٹ لائک ٹو پرولونگ مائی ٹاک. صرف حکم کی تعمیل کے لیے میں نے کچھ شکستہ الفاظ میں عرض کرنے کی سعادت حاصل کی ہے، اور مجھے بہت خوشی ہے کہ جو طلبہ اسٹوڈنٹس اس ماحول میں تربیت حاصل کرنے کے بعد وہاں گئے ہیں، ان پر جو اثر ہے، دینی رنگ چڑا ہوا ہے، یقیناً میرے پاس الفاظ نہیں کہ اس کو میں بیان کر سکوں، لیکن دلی طور پہ بہت مسرت ہوئی ہے اور دلی دعا ہے کہ اللہ یہ سلسلہ ہمیشہ روز بروز افسوس کرتا رہے، فرماتا رہے. اور وہاں بھی جب ہمارے قابل صدر احترام تیسمی قبلہ تشریف لے گئے تھے، چند محفلوں میں وہ گئے اور انہوں نے شرکت کی، اور یہ زفید حضرت صاحب کا تھا، انہوں نے آگے عام کرنے کی کوشش کی بڑے سادہ اور دل نشین انداز میں، جو لوگوں کے دلوں کی گہرائیوں میں پیوست ہو رہا تھا، بڑا مؤثر تھا. تو میں نے ان سے بھی عرض کی تھی کہ ایک موقع ایسا آنا چاہیے کہ جب پربردہ تربیت کی یہ کیفیت ہے تو جب حضرت صاحب خود تشریف لائیں گے تو بہت ہی مفید ہوگا، استفادہ ہوگا. اور آج بھی میں نے گزارش کی ہے کہ علمی انداز میں وہاں ہمارے اساتذہ کوشش کر رہے ہیں، لیکن اس طرح کی تربیت اور رہنمائی عملی اور مؤثر ہو جب آپ تشریف لائیں، تو ایسا کوئی سلسلہ ہو کہ علم کے ساتھ یہ سلسلہ بھی ساتھ جاری رہے ظاہر و باطن، تو اس پر جو نتائج ہوں گے وہاں سے طلباء جب اپنے کورسز مکمل کر کے نکلیں گے تو بہت ہی نتیجہ خیز ہوگا. دعا اللہ ان یہ جو میری خواب ہے، جو الفاظ ہیں، ان کو شرمندہ تعبیر فرمانے میں خیر کے خزانوں سے مدد فرمائے. السلام.
جزاکم اللہ احسن الجزا. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and benefit us, as we all are in need of nasiha, reminder, steadfastness. And before we begin the majlis of zikr, and you should all know, and because Hazrat Mufti Sahib teaches hadith and he knows it very well, that it was never the blessed habit of Prophet Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to give discourse or nasiha more than 15-20 minutes. That was his normal. Only on very few occasions, once he mentioned the matters from the beginning of time of the creation to the end of times, to day of judgment and until Ahlul Jannah. That was one day he, Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, did discourses at the whole day. Otherwise, you listen to Juma khutbah, or the longest khutbah of the Prophet ﷺ was the khutbah of Hajj. And that also can be read in 15 minutes. But what has happened to us, like Hazrat was saying, that we have big conferences, big institutions, and lecture after lecture, one scholar is giving 10 lectures on one small word, but the effect on the hearts and the practices of people, we can't see in proportion to that. Similarly, Sahaba Ikram Rizwan Ajmain is mentioned that when Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala, when the first day of his Khilafah, he came to deliver khutbah, he could not say more than few words. He said, next time I have to prepare. Because people he was speaking, they were also very learned, the Sahaba Rizwan Ajmain, and they were not people of words, they were people of action. Their whole lives were a nasiha. Similarly, one of the greatest nasir of this ummah, Mawlai Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jailani rahmahullah, his taqareer, his discourses are in books now, complete discourses, but you won't find them more than 15-20 minutes it took. But the change he brought in people, where did this come from? So now we are going wrong somewhere, that we've come into this entertainment mood, listening to episode after episode, story after story, and people have now come into entertainment mood, not practice mood, not getting to Allah, but entertainment. And they'll say, yes, we've heard this hadith before, we've heard this story before. Why they're saying? Because they are in entertainment mode. For a person who is listening for nasiha, he will never actually hear him that I've heard this again. Because there's always guidance. There's always, even our awliya and sulaha sometimes took lesson from the animals. Although, meaning without one. Even we find in the Quran, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam listened to the Hudhud, although he's prophet of Allah. But he said, okay, if you are true, I will pursue what you are saying. But if you are wrong, then you will be punished. But he didn't discard the message just because it's a bird. I'm not listening. What is a hudhud? No, I don't want to listen. Then he listened. He said, but what you are saying is good. If it is true, then I will pursue it. If not. So we should get out of this entertainment mode and come into the mode of action. And before we begin the Majlis of Dhikr and now the month of Miraj, I will give you an example of entertainment. Whole month people have been, ourselves included, we've been conducting the Majalis of Miraj. But the point is, who has started their Miraj? That was the Miraj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I've been mentioning through the month that one is the Miraj of the Prophet alayhi salam. When is your Miraj going to start? Because in that Miraj there is a lesson for how you can also achieve Miraj in your own level. Who have started that? You'll find maybe one in 1,000. Others listening to entertainment like thing, yes, this happened and the Prophet ﷺ came from here, he went there, etc., etc., and that's it after eating, and there we are. But where is your Miraj? And Miraj, very briefly, I will touch for the people who came first time. Miraj of the Ummati also starts. Our Miraj, our ascension can start as well. Our Buraq is different Buraq. The Mashayikh have said, our Buraq, like Rasulullah ﷺ Buraq had two wings, four legs. If you want to start your Miraj, also your Buraq is available. But your Buraq is different. Your Buraq has four legs. If you want to start the journey, first leg is Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We started from Imam Abu Hanifa, who wrote first book up to the end, like Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddas Dehlvi and Ala Hazrat Fazil Bareilvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Second leg of the Buraq is Fiqh. Learn knowledge of Fiqh, of Tahara, Ibadah, Mamla. Third leg of the Buraq, your Buraq should be Tawbah. The fourth leg is Mujahida. Then there are two wings. One wing is love, the other wing is the Dhikr of Allah. The head of the Buraq is Istiqama. His one eye is Khawf, the other eye is Raja. The example of the angel Jibreel is to have a teacher, our murshid, although he was never the teacher of the Rasulullah, but the Prophet is the teacher of entire creation. Even Jibreel al-Islam learns from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was created from the light of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jibreel al-Islam, his light was created from the light of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was the servant of the Prophet. But for us, we need a guide. Then from going from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, what is the lesson of our Miraj? If you are ready, that means you have to leave bad company like Abu Jahl, and then there were statues in the Kaaba, in the Masjid Aqsa, there were Anbiya. This means if you want to start the good journey, you have to leave the bad company. Now your Burak is ready to shoot to the seven heavens. Can you go to seven heavens? Those? No. For you, what are the seven heavens? When I reach the sunnah of the tongue, the good usage of the tongue, I have reached the first heaven. That is my asman. When I have reached the sunnah of the ears, how Rasulullah used his ears, I have reached the second asman. When I have reached the piety of the eyes, the haya of the eyes, it's as though I have reached the third heaven. When I have reached the way of nikah, which we have done now, not zina, abandon zina, and reach the modesty of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teachings, protecting our private parts, meaning from sinful, I have reached the fourth heaven. And similarly, usage of hands, when this according to the sunnah, sharia, I have reached the fifth heaven. When my stomach only earns halal, I only intake halal earnings, I have reached the sixth heaven, asman. And when my feet only walk towards goodness, I have reached the seventh. These are the seven asman for us. And Rasulullah did say in one hadith, he said, مَنْ يَدْمَنُ لِي مَا بَيْنَ لَحْيَيْهِ وَمَا بَيْنَ رِجْلَيْهِ يَدْمَنُ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. If you even guarantee me two of these things, I guarantee Jannah for you. And then going to Baitul Ma'mur, you say, how can we? You can go to Baitul Ma'mur, not to that one. But what is Baitul Ma'mur? Baitul Ma'mur is the Kaaba of the heavens, and angels do tawaf. When you have reached the purification of the mind, when in your mind only good thoughts circulate, only good thoughts come in your mind, and they are circumambulating, doing tawaf of your mind is like Baitul Ma'mur, and then you reach the Baitul Ma'mur. You can't reach the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but yes, for you to actually purify your heart from the evil traits, as though you reach the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then where did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you reach the arsh after, where did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam go? He went to the ziyarah, for the ziyarah, for to become the only sahabi of Allah in whole of the universe and creation. You know, there are many sahabas of anbiya, but there is only one sahabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because all of us will see, if Allah wills, by His fadl in Jannah, Rasulullah, but we won't become His sahabi. Because for sahabi, you have to live in this world, with this body of worldly body, you have to, in this life, you have to see Rasulullah. To be a sahabi of Allah, you have to, with this body, see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be in His presence. And that was only the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in whole of the universe. So can you reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can you see Allah? No. But here what you can do is, you can reach Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. You can have his ziyarah in a dream, in a vision, to reach his footsteps. That is like a miraj for you. And this is the worldly thing where you will do with this methodology. But when you die, you really will go through the scenes where Rasulullah ﷺ has mentioned, the scenes of Barzakh, of Jannah, and all these things. Angel Israel will come and say, now you go to Miraj. Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna, irji. This is your Miraj now, come. You've done the work now, now enjoy the real result of it. Oh satisfied soul, irji'i ila rabbik. Now return to your Lord.
and he's happy with you. Radiyatam mardiyah. Then they will take you to, like they took Rasulullah ﷺ in the midst of angels, similarly thousands of angels will come to take your soul as well. And going to the heaven, and they will say, knock, knock on the first heaven. Who is it? The angels will say, angel. They will say, son of so, like we read name of Muhammad Umar, son of Muhammad Aslam, the angel of the heaven. Yes, I will open door for him. Here we are. Then it was second heaven. To the arsh of Allah, the ruh will go into the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the result of the miraj will appear after. But before that, as awliya-i arifin have written, your buraq is waiting, but you are not sitting. Your buraq is waiting. What is the name of your buraq? Do you know that? What is the name of your buraq? Your buraq is called sunnah. Sunnah is even fastest than that buraq to take you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let me tell you. Because that buraq came from Jannah, sunnah came from the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no comparison. Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and which accompanied, and the life of that buraq of sunnah is love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His outward appearance is sunnah, alhamdulillah. So very briefly I touched upon, but this was the month which he passed, and inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi, we are still here. Most of us, we have not started our miraj, and we've listened to the story, waiting for another time. Maybe the other year will not come. Now it is Shaban, etc., etc. So don't come into this mode of entertainment, and because you have to take it serious. Otherwise, actually, there are so many people who are willing to just be entertained, and you are happy to pay money to people to entertain you, they are happy to take money. But what will happen in the Akhirah? What will happen in the Akhirah? Rasulullah said, La as'alukum alayhi ma'ala, I no ask any money from you. He said, yes, my reward is, what is my reward? He said, I want reward, and my reward is illa man sha'a attakhadha rabbihi sabila. Any of you come on guidance, that is my way, the Prophet ﷺ said. Main mujhe paise ki zarurat nahi, kisi cheez ki nahi. Tum mein se koi ummati hidayat par aa jaye, wahi meri tankha hai, wahi mera ajr hai. Iske ilawa kuch nahi. To aisi hasti ke paas jo hai, wo jaane ki koshish karunga qurb. To and inshallah you should also give your names as well. Also to before we start, if anyone wants to start this journey of Miraj, and 10-15 minutes after the Zikr Majlis, after Maghrib Salah, they want to sit with any brother and learn how to come out of this swamp of sin, of zina, of pornography, of actually all these drugs and all these other things, all this actually chaos, we have made a mess out of it in our lives. At least know how to come out of it. 10-15 minutes that will take. After the majlis you can inshallah sit, and thereafter it's up to you. As we said in the beginning, a deen is nasiha, it's not force. It's not force. Yes, quickly, if brothers can do that, and then we do a short majlis of dhikr, and then inshallah time of maghrib approach.
Is any brother who would like to find out how they can begin their journey, how they can reach the heavens of the tongue and eyes and ears and hands and feet, and they can start this journey, how they can control them? There is a methodology that the teacher of Begum Muhammadiyya, they do teach this for your charge, and everything is given to you, guidance is given to you. If there's any brother who has the desire, which is the only thing that is required, please put your hand up.
Who has already started?
All the brothers who have started the journey, please put your hands up.
So it is now the turn of those who have yet to start.
It doesn't take long, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, just to sit down and to listen and hear how this is possible, how it works. All the material is given to you, guidance is given to you. There is no compulsion, there is no charge. So if there's any brother who wants to find out and is embarrassed to put their hand up, really, there should be no embarrassment, because you've only got this one life, you'll regret it for eternity if you don't purify yourself. Because purifying yourself is a health upon every Muslim in the world. So if you want to know further details, please approach any of the brothers and we will give you further information regarding that. Also, there is a gathering tomorrow in Rochdale, and the brothers are requested to attend and also give dawah for that. And there's also a Jamaat going to Europe, going to France, Belgium, Italy, Holland. There's about 20 brothers going for 10 days. You see how our Mashayikh, our teacher, endlessly travel the world to spread the deen. We should also, this is our responsibility. And we should also take this responsibility on and do it in our own localities, in our own streets, in our own towns, and for all the gatherings. And first of all, save yourself, then your family, then your neighborhood, and then your fellow human beings, fellow Muslims as well.
JazakAllah. Shukran. JazakAllah. JazakAllah.